Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300. Well, it would have looked to Philip and to the Ethiopian, probably both of them, as an entirely chance encounter, a coincidental meeting between these two men that otherwise had nothing to do with one another, were from completely different corners of the inhabited world, as they then knew it. Now, they did have one thing in common, and it was right there in the hand of that Ethiopian eunuch, the scroll of Isaiah, the scriptures of the Old Testament. He's reading them. He has no idea who Isaiah is talking about, himself, someone else. Philip knows. And this is no chance encounter, as we find it in Acts chapter 8. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen here for the next half hour of this Monday afternoon's program. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you.
I wonder if we learn nothing else from this story of these two men finding each other on this road and then finding water along the side of the road for baptism, what do we learn about the promise of Christ in the Old Testament? Because that is, after all either of these two men have by way of Scripture at the time.
Well, this is a classic text to show what we confess as Lutherans, that all of Scripture teaches us about Christ, points us to Christ our Savior. And this text that he was reading, the eunuch who could not understand it, he didn't know what it was. It was like a code language to him, as much of the Old Testament is. And until you're taught, until you hear, these are words about Jesus. He understood they were about someone, something, but he didn't know what. He needed to be taught. He asked the question. And then verse 35, it says, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, this Old Testament scripture, the only one they had before them, he told him the good news about Jesus. So, you know, when we say that all of Scripture is about Christ, that's exactly right, and that's what we have to do in our Sunday school classes every week, not just when it's hitting us in the face like this. But every week, we've got to show the connection of whatever Bible story we're reading to Christ, the Savior from sin and death. And this is, lesson 101 on how to do that. Philip does it straight up. And, of course, we can read those passages from Isaiah. We post-Easter Christians and see, of course, that's talking about Jesus. He's the sheep that was led to slaughter. He was the lamb that was silent before its shearers, and he was humiliated. Justice was denied him, and his life was taken away from the earth. Of course, we know that's Christ, but at that day, in that moment, for that Ethiopian, that was cryptic language, and for many of our Sunday school children, it is too, and that's why we teach.
There's a famous saying from one of our Lutheran forefathers that apart from a proper understanding of God's word in terms of law and gospel, and this would always be pointing us directly to the cross of Jesus Christ for us sinners, then Scripture remains a closed book. So it's not that the eunuch could not understand the words on the page. He just did not know, literally did not know, to whom they referred.
That's exactly right. He understood very clearly, as his question to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? So he understands this is a prophet, and what we can get from this is that this Ethiopian was likely a Jew or a proselyte Jew, one who came into the Jewish faith, so that he was reading these Jewish scriptures, but was not clear on all of them, and many Jews in that day did not see Jesus, of course, as the one to whom all of their Old Testament books were pointing to, all their prophets. So not his question comes out here, but many may have had it, and he needs it explained. He needs the connection made. He needs to have someone teach him and preach to him, and God sends Philip. And like you say, no chance meeting, because the text starts out there in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go," and tells him that he's going to meet this Ethiopian, and tells him who he is and what he's doing, and it happens just like the angel tells him.
The irony here is that Philip has been, just a few chapters earlier, among a handful of men who've been chosen essentially to take care of the, the welfare of the poor, in particular widows and mm-hmm. people who couldn't take care of themselves. And here he's directed by the Holy Spirit to go meet with a man who is probably way on the other end of the socioeconomic spectrum from the people he ordinarily dealt with. First of all, he's a royal official of some kind, riding yes. a chariot, mm-hmm. and he's rich enough to afford his own copy of at least the scroll of Isaiah. I mean, this would have been somewhat of kingly wealth, and here's social worker Philip gets the opportunity to proclaim the gospel to him.
Yeah, for both these men, this was quite an event, I think. Yes, the Ethiopian, he was in the court. He was an official for the Queen of Ethiopia, Queen Candace. So he was very high up, and he was in charge, in fact, of all her treasures. So kind of guarding the national treasure of the country of Ethiopia at the time, he was in charge of that. So, yes, wealthy, privileged, and as you say, Philip was one of those deacons who was supposed to look after the poor and the needy. So quite a contrast here, and it's really a statement, isn't it, that God's word is for all, rich and poor, young and old, black and white, whatever race, wherever you're from, whoever you are, this Jesus, this Christ has come because all are sinners who need a Savior. And you can see that contrast here. We all need to hear it. Nobody's too privileged, too wealthy, too well-off, too positioned to not need Jesus. We all need him desperately.
Is the reason that the Ethiopian fails to understand the meaning of what he is reading the same reason why we often fail to understand the meaning of what we are reading when we're reading Scripture?
Well, I think that's true. In many places, Scripture, God's Word tells us that we need to be taught, we need to be preached to, we need to hear the word. Christ established his apostles, his preachers, the office of the holy ministry, because while we can read the words on the page, it is not always immediately obvious to us what they mean or what they mean for us. And if you look at the whole way that God set up his church, even in the Old Testament, but especially for his Christian church, when that we have preachers and we have teachers and we have interpreters of Scripture, and we're to hear it. We're to hear the Word, and we're to be taught it. We come to worship. We gather together with other saints. We study the Word with them. And, you know, that's really in contrast to what's kind of a popular trend, that the whole me and Jesus, you know, I'll just take my Bible and sit under a tree and, you know, God will speak to me that way. God comes to us in his word. It is a means of his grace, but he does it through his church, through preaching and through the sacraments and through his people in the church. And we don't get it all straight if we're just doing it on our own.
We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break, but let's step into it if we could.
Mm-hmm.
This is also a key, and there's so many of these in the book of Acts. This is a key story about baptism. First, someone might find it remarkable that the Ethiopian, he's the one who raises the issue of baptism when water comes into view.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, we don't know the whole conversation. We only have these few verses. That he was reading that, and he asked Philip. Philip begins to speak using that scripture beginning with that text from Isaiah and tells him the good news about Jesus. So somewhere in that teaching and telling to the Ethiopian, baptism had to come up because then the very next verse, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And, you know, Sunday school teachers, veteran Sunday school teachers, pastors have seen this, where they teach the Word of God, and the child, the person in the pew who isn't a member, who hasn't been baptized, says, "Why can't I be baptized? I want to be baptized." That's what God's Word works, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened here. He sees water. He understands he needs to be baptized. And they immediately do it. He's been catechized. He's been taught. He knows what it is. And he already has faith. In this instance, the word preached to him by Philip creates faith, and faith that says, I want it all. I want more. I want this baptism you're talking about. He wants the full faith and from what he's been taught and understands from the Scriptures.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. It's Monday afternoon, the 2nd of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're talking about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Acts chapter 8, some of the latter verses there. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, a little bit later in our conversation. I'll tell you more about Growing in Christ. In the second hour of the program, we'll talk about the life and death of Osama bin Laden, the beatification of Pope John Paul II, and we'll review the royal wedding sermon preached by Bishop Richard Chartres when William and Kate tied the knot. That's coming up in hour two of Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
The essence of God's Word. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues, Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, talking about Philip meeting the Ethiopian eunuch on the road through Gaza. It's also a bit of a miraculous story because after Philip's work is done, he is whisked away to an entirely different place by the Holy Spirit. It appears that the Holy Spirit wants those who are proclaiming and speaking the word of Jesus Christ where he wants them, when he wants them. That's one of the themes in the book of Acts, that this is a Holy Spirit who's actually conducting this entire operation, and not the apostles or the deacons or anyone else who has God's word to bear and to teach. Pam, let's talk a little bit more about the baptismal aspect of this, because, and someone might ask, this is, it sounds like before the break you were saying that part of the good news, because that's how the Luke summarizes the message here that Philip is giving to the Ethiopian eunuch, part of the good news would have been teaching about Christian baptism.
That's right, because this follows, this is Acts, written by Luke, one of the four gospel writers, and it follows after Easter, after the Ascension, after the Great Commission, where Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Very clear that those things go together, teaching and baptizing. And Philip is well instructed. He's chosen to be a deacon because he's a man of faith. He's a leader in the church. He knows this faith, and he knows the scriptures, and he gives the full story, the good news about Jesus, and how one becomes a child of God, how one receives forgiveness, life, and salvation through the means of grace, and baptism is something that we're commanded. So he surely talked about it. It's obvious because the Ethiopian asks for it, and he couldn't have known about it before. And so they stop the chariot, get in the water, and then he is baptized. And the beautiful thing here, right after the baptism, it says, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The result of what faith does, it's a life-changing experience. It's an eternal life-changing experience. He understood and believed who Jesus was for him, what he'd received through the word and through the water, forgiveness, life, and salvation, and he is rejoicing going on his way. All of this, as you said, very clear here, the Holy Spirit working through Philip, through the word, through the means of grace and holy baptism.
Now, there are two things going on here. First of all, how the two men read Scripture together, and that is, as you said before, it is with Christ as the key to understanding what the Scriptures are about. That's in very stark contrast to the way that many, many churches and pastors handle Holy Scripture nowadays as essentially a book that's about you or a book that's about me, little moral lessons for us to learn throughout our life. Maybe, I don't know what moral lessons it would have derived from the suffering servant Psalms in the book of Isaiah, but I'm sure they could squeeze something out of it. And then also the fact that when Philip is bearing witness to this eunuch, he's not giving his personal testimony. Oh, let me tell you about what I used to be like and what I'm now. Let me tell you about my changed life. He talks about Jesus. In both cases, Scripture's reading and the witness, it's about Jesus, not about me.
That's right. And the significance here that the Ethiopian is reading the Scripture out loud, and the notes that I have are that when it speaks about this reading, the custom, the practice, the way that reading was done was out loud. So it wasn't like this private, just me and myself reading in my head as I go over the words, but a true reading out loud. And the other thing is that the text tells us that Philip began with this scripture. He begins to tell him the good news about Jesus. So he doesn't begin with himself or his personal faith story or what Jesus has done for him. He begins with the Word of God. And, you know, it's the Word of God that comes with the promise that God will see that it has the result that he intends. It's the Word of God that we know for sure the Holy Spirit has empowers and works through to bring people to heart, to bring people to faith, to grant forgiveness of sins, to give out the promises of God. Doesn't start with me and my whatever I think about God. The witness comes through the Word. And then Philip got that, and the eunuch was listening and eager to hear.
He doesn't say, let me tell you about what this passage means to me.
No.
He says, in essence, I'll tell you what the passage means, period.
That's right. And he used Scripture. I mean, that's what we get from this, that he used Scripture to tell the good news about Jesus. And beginning with this Old Testament passage. So this is really a model for us, for Sunday school teachers, for pastors, for parents, that we let Scripture interpret Scripture, and we make these connections as they are obviously there. And in a lot of places in the New Testament, there's a real clear quoting of something in the Old Testament, pointing back to something, mentioning Abraham or Moses. But those are just a foretaste, just a sampling of what all of Scripture does. It's all tied up, all wrapped up in Christ on the cross for our sins. And that's the kind of teaching and preaching we need in the church. And it's what this Ethiopian needed. It's what our children need in Sunday school.
Picking up on something you mentioned just a second ago, is this why the church continues the public reading of Scripture, Old and New Testament?
Well, this is one... one reason. We have the wonderful passage in Romans, one in Luke that says, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. That's Christ speaking. The one who hears you, he's speaking to his apostles, to his disciples. They're going to be speaking, preaching about Christ, and they're going to be heard. Romans has that wonderful passage, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's Romans 10:17. Many passages where it speaks about Paul in Colossians letting the word of Christ dwell richly among us, that we may all participate in teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom and singing psalms and hymns. So many places where it is just made clear that the word is proclaimed out loud among us. We listen to it. We hear it. We speak it to one another. It's just not this private, inner self kind of thing. The church is God's people gathered around his word preached. That's what we confess.
Then finally, this is really most remarkable in the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who has been guiding and directing all of this. You've mentioned it. I've mentioned it. This is no chance meeting. The Holy Spirit really has prepared this eunuch for this very encounter with Philip, and more importantly, this very encounter with Jesus Christ through his word.
Yeah. The Spirit made all this happen. I knew where the Ethiopian would be, saw to it that he was reading this text, and let Philip know where he would be, and in a desert place on a road between Jerusalem and Gaza, and has him there, and he meets up with this Ethiopian, and then Philip hears him reading, and they strike up this conversation. Philip runs to him and asks him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And that beautiful question from the Ethiopian, the question that we should all have on our lips. As we think about our pastor and our church and how we desperately need a pastor to faithfully preach to us, he says, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And then at the end, the Spirit whisks Philip away, and this is the part the Sunday school kids are going to, grasp onto, that he was whisked away. The man goes on, happy, now rejoicing, but Philip finds himself at Azotus, which is really, it's 20 miles away from where they were. He disappears before the eunuch's eyes, and he ends up in another part of the country, and it ends the text, "As he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Beautiful.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. As you can see, this is an especially good example of how this Sunday School curriculum does exactly what Philip does for the eunuch, shows all who read Christ on every page, in every passage of Scripture. Find out more about Growing in Christ. Order a sample copy from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Next week, we'll be talking with Pam about the conversion of Paul. In the second hour of today's program, coming up here in about 7 minutes, Robert Spencer will kick it off for us. Of course, the big news is the death of Osama bin Laden. We'll talk about the life and the death of this very most famous Muslim. Then we'll be discussing the beatification, the sainthood of Pope John Paul II with Dr. Martin Noland. And finally, we'll review the sermon preached at the royal wedding in London by Bishop Richard Chartres. That's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. It starts in 7 minutes.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.